All right, so you've done it?
You have.
You've actually done the research.
You've got the results.
You've got the findings. You've got the data. The paper's written.
Now the fun begins, right?
Oh, yeah, the real fun part.
Yeah.
Getting it published.
Yes.
So where do you even start with that?
Well, that's a great question, and that's what we're diving deep into today.
Yeah, so we're looking at this fantastic material from the Niche Medical Writing Team.
Yes.
And these guys have been doing this since 1998.
A long time.
Yeah, so they've seen it all.
They've really seen the landscape change over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And evolve.
And evolve.
So, you know, we're really standing on their shoulders today as we look at this and kind of get this insider's view on how to do this journal selection process.
Absolutely. And as we were reading through this, it's kind of amazing how important this really is.
It is.
You know, like this is really a make or break decision.
Yeah. And the Niche team really hits on this right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, poor journal selection is a major reason why manuscripts get rejected.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so easy to kind of just gloss over this part and be like, oh, I'll just send it to, you know, whatever my favorite journal is.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But there's so much more to it than that.
There is.
Yeah.
And it can lead to huge delays and wasted effort, you know?
Absolutely. So let's kind of break this down into some of these key pieces of advice from the Niche team.
Okay.
The first one, and I think this is such a great starting point, is, you know, a realistic self-assessment.
Yes.
Like really, like, take a step back and look at your work.
Be honest.
Be honest with yourself about, you know, what you have and what the value of it is.
Yeah, and how it fits into the broader field as a whole.
Yeah, and it's so easy to kind of get caught up in our own work and think that, oh, you know, this is going to change the world. But, you know.
Sometimes it's not. It's great research and it has value.
Yeah.
But it might not be, you know, that groundbreaking, earth-shattering finding that we think it is.
And you know, they really had this great analogy that that choosing a journal without a plan is like setting off on a journey without a map.
I love that.
Yeah. Like, you can get there.
You can, but it might take a lot longer.
It'll take a lot longer and a lot more luck.
Yes. A lot of wrong turns.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of backtracking.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing they kind of emphasize here is that, you know, rejection
is part of the process.
Yeah, like even
if everyone gets rejected.
Yeah, even the best of the best get rejected
at some point.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of go in knowing that.
Yeah, just being prepared for that.
Yeah, have realistic expectations.
Yeah.
And ideally, I think this is one of the coolest things that Niche suggests is that.
What was that?
You should really be aiming to identify your target journal. Mm-hmm. Even before you finish the manuscript.
Oh, wow. So, like, you know, you've done your research.
Yes.
You kind of have an idea of what you're going to write about.
Yeah.
But you haven't actually written the paper yet, and you're already thinking about the journal.
Yes. And I mean, it kind of makes sense if you think about it, right?
It does.
You know, because as you're writing your paper, you're going to be thinking about the scope of that journal, the style, the audience that it caters to.
Yeah.
So you can kind of tailor it to that particular journal.
That's such a good point.
Yeah, it can actually help refine your writing process.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important takeaway is that, you know, journal selection isn't just this thing that happens at the end.
Right.
Like, it should really be something that you're thinking about.
Throughout the process. Yeah.
Okay, so we've kind of had this, like, honest self-assessment.
Yes.
We thought about maybe a journal in advance. Yeah. Now, what do we do?
Well, then you have to start gathering information.
Okay.
About potential journals, right?
So, like, how do we even know what's out there?
Yeah, so the more information you have, the better.
Okay.
And one thing I thought was really interesting that Niche brought up is, you know, think about the fact that your research might actually find a broader readership and generate greater engagement if it's published in a journal that's maybe less prestigious.
Really?
Yeah, but very tightly focused on your specific area of study.
So, like, it might not be in, like, the biggest, you know, name brand journal.
Right.
But it's in a journal that is laser focused on exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So sometimes aiming for that absolute top tier journal might mean your work reaches a more general audience.
Okay.
But a specialized journal, even with a lower impact factor, could place your findings right in front of the researchers who are most likely to read it, engage with it, and cite it.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
And so it's not enough to just kind of go through this list.
Right.
pick one that sounds good and then send it off, right?
Yeah.
There's more to it.
There is.
So niche really emphasizes being able to clearly justify your journal selection.
Yeah.
In your cover letter.
In your letter to the editor.
You have to be able to articulate why you believe this is the best journal
right.
for your research.
Exactly. It shows that you've done your research,
yeah.
that you've put thought into it.
Yeah.
That you're not just randomly sending this out.
Right.
You understand the journal's mission.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're getting into this and I'm realizing, you know, this is way more complicated than I thought it was.
It is a little more nuanced uh-huh. than it might seem at first glance.
And, you know, it's funny because they talk about how, you know, this landscape of journal selection
has really changed.
Has completely changed.
Drastically.
Like, it's so much more complex now.
It is.
Than it used to be.
Yeah. You know, the rise of open access publishing.
Right.
Online only journals.
Yeah.
Pay to view models.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all these new journals.
That's like so many.
Constantly
emerging and these interdisciplinary fields popping up.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So it's like, how do you even navigate this?
It is a challenge.
Yeah.
And as it's gotten more complex, the potential downsides of making the wrong choice are also amplified.
Oh, sure.
It leads to delays.
Yeah.
Wasted resources.
Yeah.
Get rejected. You got to start the process all over again.
Yep.
So.
Okay. So how do we do this? How do we do this? What's some advice?
Okay. Well, they talk about leveraging existing knowledge.
Okay.
And kind of community. You know?
Okay, so using what we already know.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I love this. They reference Newton, you know.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Bernard of Chartres had a similar quote way back in the 12th century.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this idea has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, your research doesn't exist in isolation.
Right.
You're building on the work of others. And so you should look to where that work is published.
Okay. So what you're saying is we should look for those journals that are already publishing on this topic.
Exactly. And you know, you can talk to colleagues.
Okay.
You know, explore online journal databases.
Yeah.
Look at the publications highlighted by professional organizations.
Yeah. So there's lots of ways to find that information.
There is this.
But essentially what we're doing is saying, okay, who's already publishing in this area?
Yeah.
Let's look at those journals.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're starting to get this list together.
Yes.
And no, one thing I tend to do is I kind of just go to, you know, what I know and what I like.
Yes. The journals that you read regularly?
Yeah, the journals that I read and, you know, the ones that kind of I'm familiar with.
You sure?
But niche cautions against this a little bit.
They do.
This kind of ad hoc approach.
Right.
They say it could actually be working against you.
Yes, because there might be publishing goals that you haven't even consciously considered yet.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think this is really important to say, you know, it's absolutely okay to target a journal with a lower impact factor.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes that is truly the most effective way to reach your intended audience.
Okay.
And they also suggest, you know, considering submitting brief communications
okay.
to higher elov journals.
Okay.
If you have a really focused and high impact message to convey.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, so you kind of tailor your submission strategy to the type of research you have.
Right, to the specific findings.
Exactly.
Okay, so, you know, I'm starting to get overwhelmed with all this information.
I know, it's a lot.
Like, how do I keep track of all of this?
Well, that's where Nietzsche introduces this idea of an assessment grid.
Okay, so what is that?
So basically, it's a way to evaluate potential journals based on specific criteria.
Okay, so like a checklist.
Sort of, but you can actually rank the importance of different criteria.
Okay.
So, you know, if your main goal is to get a high impact factor, you can weight that more heavily.
Okay.
Or if you need a quick turnaround time, you know, you can weight that more heavily.
So I can customize this to what my goals are.
Exactly.
Okay.
And actually, they mentioned that Niche has their own example of a journal selection grid.
Oh, wow.
That's available on their website.
So we'll have to link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so... So we can start with this assessment grid, and I think they said we can even take it a step further.
Yeah, they talk about adapting the grid into a journal selection algorithm.
What? Oh. An algorithm?
Yeah. I know it sounds complicated.
That sounds...
But it's really not.
Okay.
Basically, it's bringing together your evaluation of your research
okay.
with a measure of the journal's prestige.
Okay.
So you're finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Where your work... is a good fit for the journal.
Yeah.
and it's likely to achieve the impact you're looking for.
Okay, so it's like matching those two things up.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, it might not be the most prestigious journal.
Right.
But if it's the right fit for your research,
yeah,
that's what matters.
Okay. And what's interesting is, you know, I was thinking, okay, I do all this work.
Mm-hmm.
The algorithm spits out a journal.
Right.
That's the one I submit to.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, okay.
It usually creates a short list.
Oh, okay.
Of suitable journals.
So I still have some choices.
You do.
Okay.
And importantly, each journal on that list comes with a rationale.
Okay.
So you know why it was selected.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So I'm not just blindly trusting the algorithm.
Right. You have the reasoning behind it.
That makes sense.
And then you can make an informed decision.
Okay.
So it's taking it from a subjective decision to a more objective one.
Yeah.
Based on data.
And they ask this really big question.
They do.
Like a huge question.
Yeah.
And it's does your work represent a fundamental shift in the field?
Like, is it paradigm altering?
Is this a game changer?
Yeah.
So if the answer is yes.
Then you aim high.
Okay. So no? Like go for the big.
The highest impact, broadest scope.
Okay. But what if it's not?
Well, if it's solid research.
Uh-huh.
You know, complete.
Yeah.
But not paradigm shifting.
Yeah.
Then they suggest targeting the specialty journal.
Okay.
That's most widely read in your area.
So again, it's about finding that right audience.
Exactly.
For your work. Okay, so.
It's not just about prestige.
Right.
It's
about who you're trying to reach.
Yeah, who are you trying to reach?
Okay, so they also give this really helpful list of key considerations that you should be thinking about.
And this comes from Knight and Steinbeck.
Okay.
And these are things like, you know, a realistic assessment of the likelihood of your manuscript being accepted.
Okay, so like how likely is it that they'll actually take this?
Yeah.
Okay.
The reputation of the journal.
Yeah.
Its visibility, the potential impact, likelihood of timely publication.
So like how long is it going to take to actually get published?
Yeah. And this one's interesting. The philosophical and ethical issues associated with the journal.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about that before.
It's not something that comes to mind immediately.
Yeah.
But it is important to think about.
Yeah. Okay. So those are kind of like the big picture things.
Some of the overarching.
The overarching things.
We consider.
And then they get into some really specific factors.
Yes, they do.
To include in this assessment grid.
Yes.
So what are some of those?
Well, the first one is publishing relevance.
Okay. What is that?
So basically, has the journal published articles similar to yours in the past few years?
Okay.
Like within the last 5 years.
Okay, so I should be looking back at what they've already published.
Yes, and if they have, that's a good sign.
Okay.
That your work aligns with their focus.
Okay, but what if they just publish something like super similar?
Yeah, they actually say if a very similar study has been published recently, like within the last 6 months,
okay,
they might be less receptive.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they've just covered that topic.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. What else?
Another thing to consider is the article types that they publish.
Okay.
You know, do they mainly publish review articles?
Okay.
Methodological papers?
Yeah.
Reports of clinical trials, case studies?
So like what kind of format do they usually take?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then, you know, of course, you have to think about the restrictions.
Okay.
Can you meet their requirements for length?
Yeah.
Number of figures?
Okay.
Tables?
All the little details?
All those nitty-gritty details.
Okay.
And then, you know, of course, time and cost are big factors for a lot of people.
Yeah. Time is huge for me. Like, I want to...
You want to get your work out there.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah. And sometimes cost is a factor too, right?
Yes, definitely.
Like some journals are...
More expensive.
Yeah.
Than others, especially with open access.
Okay. So that's something to think about.
It is.
Okay. What else?
So another thing to consider is the journal's reach.
Okay.
Is it international or regional? Do they have an international representation of authors and editors?
Okay.
And how widely is it read?
So like how many people are actually looking at this journal?
Yeah. And they mentioned the eigenfactor.
Okay.
As a way to kind of get a sense of readership.
So what is the eigenfactor?
Well, it's a little complicated to calculate.
Okay.
But basically it's an estimate of how many people read a journal and consider it important based on the citation patterns over a five-year period.
Okay. So if it's being cited a lot, that means people are reading it.
Yeah, generally.
Okay.
But they do say it can be influenced by how many articles a journal publishes.
Okay. So more articles, more citations?
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's reach. And then, of course, there's the prestige.
Yes, the big one.
The big one, the impact factor.
Yeah.
And they talk about, you know, other metrics like SMAGO Journal, Rank H Index.
All those quantitative measures.
Yeah, all those numbers that we like to look at.
Yeah, and those are usually pretty easy to find.
Okay.
But they do say, you know, those journals with the highest impact factors also tend to have the highest rejection rates.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So don't get too caught up in that.
Right. Right.
It's good.
Gotta be realistic.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got all this information now.
We do.
You know, we've gone through this whole process. Uh-huh. We've got our assessment grid.
Yeah.
We've maybe even run it through the algorithm.
Possibly.
But now there's like the human element.
Yes.
Right?
The authors.
And their preferences.
Yeah, what if we disagree?
Well, Niche actually talks about this.
They do.
They do, and they really emphasize flexibility.
Okay.
So, you know, if an author feels strongly about adding a journal,
uh-huh.
you can just add it to the list and rerun the analysis.
Okay.
And they also say, you know, authors can change the weighting
okay.
of the factors in the grid.
So we can kind of tweak it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you're really stuck.
They suggest getting a colleague involved.
Okay.
Someone who can provide an objective opinion.
Yeah, like a fresh set of eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if all else fails, they say they'll usually submit to the author's preferred journal.
Oh.
But they always have a plan B.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. You know, second and third choice journals ready to go.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Okay. So we finally got our journal.
We've picked one. Yep.
Anything else we need to do?
Well, they suggest reaching out to the editor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just to gauge their interest.
So, like, before we even submit?
Yes, just a quick email.
Okay.
Outlining the key findings.
And what are we looking for in that response?
Well, you're looking for some indication that they think it's a good fit for the journal.
So kind of like a pre-screening.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. It's not a guarantee.
Right.
But it can give you a sense.
Yeah, of whether it's worth submitting.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've done all this work. We found the perfect journal.
Hopefully. Yeah.
But they do say, you know, this isn't foolproof.
It's not.
Right? Like, there's still limitations.
There are.
So what are some of those?
Well, they talk about user error.
Okay.
So if your initial list of journals wasn't good, the output won't be good either.
So garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they also say, you know, personal connections can sometimes play a role.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
Yeah, it can influence whether your manuscript gets sent out for review.
But not necessarily whether it gets accepted.
Not necessarily.
No, okay, so it's not like a guaranteed in.
Right, it's like just, you know, you might get looked at.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So it's like there's this whole kind of human element.
There is.
To this process.
Oh, yeah?
That you can't really account for.
Sometimes.
Okay. So, you know, I'm thinking about this whole process.
Yeah.
And it's kind of daunting.
I know, it can be.
Like, is there anything out there that can help?
Well, they do mention some journal selection tools.
Oh, okay. So, like, software.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, things like Eden's Journal Selector.
Okay.
Elsevier's Journal Finder.
Uh-huh.
And think CheckSubmit.
Okay. So, these are, like, websites or?
Yeah. Websites or software programs
that
can help you find journals.
Okay. And how do they work?
So, basically, they index a bunch of journals.
Uh-huh.
And they use algorithms to match your research to journals that have published similar articles.
Okay, so you, like, put in your information?
Yeah. Keywords abstract.
Yeah.
And it'll spit out a list of suggestions.
Okay, that sounds pretty helpful.
It can be.
Okay.
Especially for generating that initial list.
Okay.
And some of them even give you a suitability score.
Oh, wow.
So you can kind of see how good a fit it is.
Okay.
But
there's always a but.
They do say that not all journals are included.
Okay.
In these databases.
Right.
And they don't always take into account your specific goals or your agenda for your research.
So they're not perfect.
They're not perfect.
But they can be a helpful starting point.
Yeah. Good first step.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of go from there.
Exactly.
Okay. So I guess what they're saying is that, you know, even though there's all this software out there, this is still a skill.
It is.
That we need to develop.
Yeah. Until software can truly understand all the nuances of research and publishing.
Right.
This is something that researchers need to be able to do.
Yeah. Okay. So to kind of bring it all together.
Yeah.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
What are some of the big takeaways?
Well, I think the biggest one is that, you know, strategic and informed journal selection is crucial.
Yeah.
For getting your research out there.
Yeah.
Successfully.
Yeah. And it's not just about prestige.
Right.
It's about finding the right audience
exactly.
for your work.
And maximizing its impact.
And so, you know, this whole structured approach that they talk about, you know, with the assessment grid and the algorithm and all that,
yeah.
it really can save you a lot of
time and effort.
Yeah. And heartache, too.
And frustration.
Yeah. All those rejections.
So it's worth putting in the time up front.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do it right. So I guess as we kind of leave our listeners with something to think about.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Bradford's Law.
Yes.
And this idea of like, you know, these core journals.
Yeah. The most important journals in field.
Yeah. So I guess one thing to think about is, you know, what are those core journals?
In your field.
Yeah, in your field.
Yeah.
And who is your target audience?
Yeah. Who are you trying to reach with your research?
And I think if you can answer those two questions, you're already way ahead of the game.
You are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you know, there's so much more that we could talk about with this. We've run out of time.
Right.
But there are resources out there.
And people who can help you with this.
Definitely.
So don't be afraid to reach out and get some guidance.
Yes, good advice.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
See you then.